Did we screen her before they married?
No. He just ignored the rules and went ahead. Kensington Registrar's office.
There you go, Eddie. Half and half, two sugars.
Tom.
So, how are you getting on with your cooning?
Oh, I was doing fine. But I've been on leave for a few days.
Ah, of course. Yeah, one of the files has got a request from CIA to interrogate Yukunin about the Walker operation that he ran.
That backs up his own story against your guy's version.
Uh-huh, that's what I thought.
Listen, why don't I see Belinsky with you?
At least we get a second opinion.
Yukunin says your guy's real name is Lenski, and he was really scared when he saw his photograph.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't tell me what his work was, but you said he felt his life was in danger, and mine too.
Sounds a bit over the top, especially about you. The Walker operation was a success for the KGB, so why should they want to knock him off, or you?
Well, my impression was that it was something else. Yeah? I mean, not the Walker case.
Any idea what?
Well, he's been on about a mole in SIS.
Have you tried to pursue it?
Oh, yeah. But I have to go pretty cautiously, because he's so prickly. Says he's waiting to see if we, you know, can be trusted.
How's he going to decide that?
I don't know. He just says that he'll know when.
Which safe house are you using?
The one at Lamberhurst.
We could go to my safe house near Southampton and look over Belinsky or Lenski or wherever his name is and come back through Lamberhurst.
What about your backlog of files?
They'll have to wait. If Belinsky is lying, then he's a plant and the sooner I know the better. Let's go now. We'll take my car. Mr. Belinsky, this is a colleague of mine who wants to ask you a few questions.
How do you do, sir?
Tell me about what you were doing before you defected.
What particular aspect of my previous work would you like to talk about?
Just tell me what you think will most interest me.
Well, before I came over, I was working in Paris. Not at embassy, but at house that was headquarters of KGB illegals in France. I was kind of troubleshooter between bosses of various departments. Expect you have it too in SIS. Rivalries between sections or individual heads, then persuading one section to share its findings with another, that sort of thing. I must apologize for not offering you drink. We have good selection. What can I offer you?
Let's just talk, shall we?
I wish I'd had men as conscientious as you are, comrade. I'd have counted myself very lucky. I might even have stayed.
Well, why did you come over?
Well, I suppose we all think our reasons for escape are ours alone. A bit of a fruit salad, really. Disenchantment, fondness for the West, family problems, that sort of thing.
And what were you disenchanted with?
Restrictions, narrow minds, petty rivalries between old men, that sort of thing.
And the family problems?
Oh, a very dull marriage. Lack of sympathy from my partner. A wish for release from restrictions of marriage.
What sort of background did your wife come from?
What a strange question. She was working class, same as me. A very ordinary lady, pretty, but not sophisticated.
What kind of friends did you have?
In Paris or Moscow?
Both.
In Paris, none. My job made me enemies, not friends. In Moscow, it was fellow officers. People I'd done my training with.
David, I'll have to go. It's getting late.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mr. Belinsky, thank you for talking to me so frankly.
Not at all. I enjoyed our little chat.
What did you make of him?
I think he's phony.
Why?
Well, first of all, instinct. I didn't like all that charm, you know? It was condescending. He's made himself too much at home.
I think he's genuinely a charming sort of chap.
I'm not saying he isn't genuine. I'm saying I think he's using it very deliberately.
You sound like you're talking about Tony Renshaw. All your working class prejudices coming out.
Listen, he claimed his wife was working class and so was he. Did you notice his accent when we were speaking Russian?
My Russian's not good enough to detect accents, Eddie. Regional dialects, yes, but not accents.
He's got an upper-class Moscow accent, and he's had it a long, long time.
Well, he's top brass in KGB.
Well, so what? Have you ever heard Gorbachev speaking? His accent's the Moscow equivalent of EastEnders. Lenski has the same accent that Andropov had. And even his mates in the Politburo saw it as a drawback.
What else don't you like?
His cover story. It's too good to be true. Not just the story, but the laid-back attitude. It's absolutely tailored to suit a Brit audience. It's a marvellous piece of work. Whoever worked it out ought to get a bloody two-grade promotion. Most SIS officers would agree with your assessment, and that's what it's meant to do. It's a frank chat between friends in leather armchairs in some posh bloody club. And we're all chaps together. the boring wife, the rivalries, the feuds between the old China hands. Instant appeal, you know? Instant mutual identification.
Didn't anything ring true?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just one thing, and it's an important thing.
What's that?
What rank did he say he was?
Major.
He's bullshitting us, David.
Go on.
Let's check on Central Archives when we get back, yeah? Not under Belinsky, but under Lenski. I'll bet you anything you like that he's at least a lieutenant colonel. But the real reason why he doesn't have friends is because he's not allowed to. Because his job is too high-powered. Too important to risk his operational security outside the operation itself. Would you check on him as Belinsky?
Yes, his details fitted well with what he's told me.
In the light of what I've said, would you say it fits a bit too well?
You could be right.
You know how to test it, ain't it?
No.
Has he told you in the debriefing anything of substance that wasn't in his SIS file?
Only about personal relationships in the KGB in Paris. I had those checked on. They fitted, and quite a lot of it was news to our people there.
That's a little present from Moscow, David. Gift-wrapped. Nice and handy for checking on in Paris. You couldn't check on much of his Moscow story, that's for sure.
You really are a cynical bastard, Eddie.
Yeah, but I bet you wouldn't fancy putting £100 on me being wrong, would you?
No. I'm worried, Eddie. Yeah, how about we give your guy a miss and see him later, and tomorrow we can go back to Century House and check on the Lenski file.
All right, yeah, that's a good idea. I haven't had time to check on it since you couldn't identify the photograph.
Can I help you?
I'd like a check on Lenski. L-E-N-S-K-Y. He's KGB.
First name?
I don't know.
Just a moment. There's three Lenskys registered.
Okay, try them out first.
Lenski Igor Alexandrovich, Captain GRU based in Samarkand. Lenski Mikhail Davidovich, rank not known. Mathematician attached cipher section, KGB Irkutsk. Lenski Yuri Fyodorovich, Lieutenant Colonel KGB, duties unknown.
That's the one. Can I see the file?
That's the only information on the file.
We'd still like to see it.
It's out for updating.
When's it due back?
It's been out for 2 months and there's no date for return.
Who's got it?
Can I see your ID cards again? I'm sorry, but you're not cleared for that information, either of you. I can assure you that what I have given you is the only information on that file.
Looks like you're right, Eddie.
I'd like to know who fixed that bloody file. Once they've got a name, there should be a whole raft of information, especially on a half-colonel in the KGB.
I'd like to know who initiated that file and who pulled it out.
And why?
Let's get some sleep first. Oh, hi, Eddie.
Hello, David. How's your debriefing going?
He's a strange fellow. He's still talkative, but not informative.
What the hell does that mean?
Full of KGB gossip, which is quite useful, but dodges any questions about what he's been doing. Says he was directing an operation in the States.
Any idea what it was?
He's hinted that it was a key operation, and vague hints that it was a penetration of the US Navy.
My chap was doing exactly that.
Maybe I better ask for your files to be released to me.
Well, why not? Most of it's American material, very little about us.
Renshaw's pretty sure my guy is genuine. He thinks he knows a hell of a lot if I can only pin him down. Why don't you give your guy a polygraph test?
Well, it's unreliable, but maybe it's worth a try.
That's right, sir. Just put your arms on the rests and I'll tape on these sensors. Do you know what these appliances are for?
They're get on with it, girl.
I'll take over, Julie, okay?
Yes, sir. I need to ask you a couple of questions to calibrate the machine. So, here we go. Your name, please, sir?
Yakunin. Igor Yakunin.
Are you quite comfortable, Mr. Yakunin?
Yes, thank you.
What's your favourite food?
Piroshkis.
Your favourite flower?
Margaretka.
Daisy.
Fine. I'm all set, sir, if you are.
Okay, right. Have you ever done all this stuff before, Igor?
Many times, but in my own language.
Well, there's a built-in allowance in the programme for that.
So, go ahead. Do I love my mother more than my father?
How old are you, Igor?
52 in October.
Why did you go to the British Embassy in Washington?
To defect...
What do you think?
It's a very steady reading, Mr. Hoggart. In fact, the only real deviation was when I asked him about his favourite flower.
I think that was probably the only flower he could think of. And you'd classify all the rest of his responses as stable, wouldn't you?
Yes. But we have had recent reports that the KGB are giving agents, especially illegals, special training in reacting to polygraph tests.
Yeah?
He said he'd had lots before, But I think the training only began about a year ago, and from the notes you gave me, he hasn't been there in that time.
Right. Can you let me have a written assessment report in the next couple of days?
Yes, sir.
Great. Thanks for your help.
You know, Eddie, it's like those sine waves you see on oscilloscopes. Two of them, out of phase with one another, but exactly the same shape, matching but never coinciding. Mm-hmm. I'd say he did run the Walker operation himself. Maybe it was that the guy in New York had it in for him and misinformed Moscow to make sure that he didn't carry the can himself when Walker was caught.
Yeah. Did you give your guy a polygraph test?
No. Renshaw wouldn't sanction it.
Why not?
Said it wasn't justified. He was talking and cooperating, so why rock the boat? No, I think he was right. You've been at this game much longer than I have. Maybe he just accepts that you know what you're up to, and I've still got to work my passage.
What can I do for you?
Lion Scotch, please, Joe.
Right. Haven't seen you for some time.
No, I've been down the country for a few days.
Yeah. You know, Jackie's been seeing Harry Gardner again. Nasty piece of work he is.
What do you mean, seeing him?
What do you think I mean? She was his mistress long before you came on the scene. He's met her here down a club several times in the last few weeks. And I thought you must have gone along with it.
Forget the Scotch.
Oh. They were in there about an hour ago. She's probably at his place now.
What's his address?
He's in the phone book. H.R. Gardner. I think it's Hartford Street.
What did he do about it?
Well, he'd had his suspicions for some time, but he couldn't bring himself to believe it or do anything to check on her. But once he'd been tipped off, he started watching her. When he'd had enough, he phoned her one day when she was there with Gardner.
Yeah, drink this down and take this pill. Right. Tell me again what he said.
He said not to come back. He'd had enough. He was going to divorce me. What am I going to do, Harry?
About what?
All of it.
Oh, you can stay here, kids. No problem about that. Do you want to let him divorce you?
No.
Why not?
I love him, Harry.
Oh, come off it, Jackie. You wouldn't be screwing around with me if you loved him.
Do you love your wife?
Of course.
But you still screw me?
So?
It's just a screw, but to him it's different. To him it means I don't love him.
Do you think he really will try and divorce you?
I'm sure he will. When that guy said he's going to do something, he'd do it.
Well, you could bring a counter-petition for divorce against him.
What good would that do?
Well, it might calm him down, so at least he doesn't drag my name into it.
No reason to give a divorce in him.
Old Foxy, my solicitor, would soon dig up some reasons. Do you want me to have a word with him?
It's up to you, Harry. I'll do whatever you say.
Morning, Foxy.
Oh, Harry, morning. Take a pew.
Right. So,
what's it all about, Harry?
I want you to handle a divorce thing for a friend of mine.
Oh, I don't meddle in that side of the law, Harry. Never have and never will. All that filth and, No, I can't help you there. Sorry.
This isn't just a run-of-the-mill case, Foxy. Like I said, it's for a friend of mine. Very special friend. Money's no object.
You tell your friend that he doesn't need to spend a lot of money these days.
It's not a fella, Foxy. It's a young lady.
I see. Well, you'd better tell me all about it, Harry.
Because if I do that, it'll be out of my control. I'll end up in the papers looking like either a baby snatcher or a dirty old man or both.
Well, what's her name, Harry?
Jacqueline Hoggett. Used to be Jacqueline Lovegrove.
Address?
Oh, same as mine. Hartford Street address.
Well, you'd better get her out of there fast, my friend.
Yeah, so what's the hurry?
You said you checked on her way back. And she had 2 court warnings for soliciting, yes?
Yes.
And you knew this before you took her on?
Yes.
And you had sex with her yourself, and she had sex with friends of yours, business friends, sometimes at hotels and sometimes at your place?
That's right.
Well, you realise it could be claimed that you were effectively running a brothel?
Oh, rubbish. She wasn't paid by those people, just between friends.
Look, I don't remember the exact words, Harry, but there was a case under the Sexual Offences Act 1956, Winter versus Wolfe, in the early 60s. It established that in law, it is immaterial whether payment was received or not.
So, are you going to look after my interests or not?
You don't leave me any choice, Harry. Yes, I'll take it on. Reluctantly.
So, what do you think we can do?
Buy off the outraged husband to leave you out of it. Or put some sort of pressure on him. What's his job?
You don't know. There were rumours that he was an undercover man for a drug squad.
You mean he's a copper?
That was only a rumour. I don't think it's true. She don't know what he does.
You mean a wife doesn't know what her husband's job is or where he goes each day?
I'm afraid not.
It's hardly credible. Good grief. We'd better find out what he does do, my friend, and quick. You'd better put me in funds, Harry, so I can get a proper investigator working on it.
How much do you need?
Well, 5,000 to start with.
Gardner.
It's Foxy, Harry. Are you alone?
No.
The girl?
Yep.
Okay. Don't ask me any questions. I want to see you immediately.
What about?
I said don't ask questions. It's not safe. Just do as I say. I'll be waiting in my office for you.
I've got some bad news, Harry.
So tell me.
You know what the little girl's old man does for a living?
No, what?
I've had him under surveillance for 4 days.
Oh, get on with it, Foxy.
He works at Century House.
What's Century House?
It's the headquarters of SIS, the Secret Intelligence Service. MI bloody six. He's a bloody spy. That explains why he knew so much about the girl.
No wonder she didn't know what his job was. Now what?
You're in for a right royal reaming if we ain't very, very careful, Harry.
How much do they make a year?
Bound to be pretty high. It's all tax-free.
Why tax-free?
So that no crafty little bastard in the Inland Revenue can sell a nice list of names to the rush gifts.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a big spender from what Jackie's told me.
The fact remains that that guy knows enough, or can use his resources to find out enough, to get you into court and give you a very nasty time. What we've got to bend our minds to is how to stop him.
What do you suggest?
Well, nothing right now. I only got this stuff an hour ago. I want to sleep on it. Then we'll talk again.
Maybe I should put a contract out on him.
Harry! Just keep very quiet and don't make any waves while I think about it. Just remember, you could be doing 30 years. If you don't want to do it my way, then you better find yourself another lawyer. You understand that, Harry?
Okay, okay. Give me a call sometime tomorrow. We'll meet again. What have you got, Foxy? Anything?
Well, this man Hoggart isn't just looking for a divorce. He's got a grudge against you. You, personally. He wants the whole world to hear what he knows about you. Understand?
Oh, yeah. Go on.
So we look at the possibility of doing the same to him.
Well, what's he done that's criminal?
Nothing, so far as I know. But he's an MI6 man. His bosses aren't going to like having him cross-examined in court about what he does. Supposed to be secret. That's why they got the Official Secrets Act.
But we don't know what he does. He could be a bloody clerk or something.
Well, I know already he's not. He's doing secret things.
How do you know?
My chap's been keeping very discreet tabs on him. Hoggart's doing something at a cottage down in Kent. A place that's permanently under guard. At least two heavies. He's been seen twice with an oldest chap. Just walking around. But the last time my chap saw them, he swears they were both talking Russian.
The court wouldn't let you talk about that. It's nothing to do with a divorce case.
It could be if it's handled right.
How?
You'd have to leave that to me.
If this guy's in the spy business, he'll spot your chap tailing him in no time.
No. My chap's ex-SAS. Ex-Dirty Tricks in Ulster. He's just as good as Hoggart. Maybe better. Where's the girl now?
Oh, I found her a place by Victoria Station. The lease is in her name, she pays the rent, and I keep her funded.
Oh, not with checks, I hope.
No, cash.
Good. Well, I'll contact you when I've got something to tell you.
Why did Hoggart marry the girl?
Oh, a lot of reasons, I guess. She was young and very pretty, and they both had rotten childhoods, if you can call them that. I think she quite genuinely cared about Eddie Hoggart. He was a rock for her, the only reliable man she'd ever met. And I've no doubt he genuinely cared about her.
So why did it go wrong?
Oh, the usual reasons why our chaps' relationships go wrong. Hoggart never talked about his job with her. Disappears for days and she's left on her own. They don't have any mutual friends she can turn to. So she gets drawn back to the so-called friends of her old life. Barmen from sleazy clubs. Several men from her past. And then the great mistake. Harry Gardner.
But she didn't need to sleep with him, for God's sake.
Oh, it didn't mean anything to her, Bob.
What was this chap Gardner doing about it?
Well, Gardner and Foxy were getting in deeper and deeper.
Very nice place you got here, Harry. Huh. Must have cost you a fortune.
Nah, it all goes down to tax, Foxy. Sit down. Now then, what's it all about?
Why all the mystery?
Not mystery, Harry, security. I've got a few shots left in the locker to delay things, but sooner or later they'll try to get me in court. I want to stop that from happening. Whichever way it went, you'd be the loser. So, we got two ways we can pressure him. Physical or inside pressure.
What inside pressure?
I'm a solicitor, an officer of the court. I'm also a good citizen, patriotic and all that. I've got this piddling little case. It means to protect the interests of my client, Jackie, I've got to show that this man's behaviour is what drove her to what she did. Not his fault, of course. It's what he was trained to do, wasn't it? He's used to dealing with foreign agents. Tough and ruthless, and unfortunately given to violence in his private life. What a pity to see a man's career put in jeopardy just for a marital squabble. If they had a quiet word with him, it could be all smoothed over, quietly and calmly. Surely they'd agree that it was best for all concerned.
Who's this they you say you'll talk to?
Well, I'll talk to his solicitor first. If I get no joy there, I'll call MI6. I've got the number of the main switchboard from my chap. And I know who to talk to.
Who?
Chap named Lathan, legal department.
Yeah, he'll say it's private, none of their business.
He won't, they can't afford to. They won't want all that about what he does coming out into open court, Russians and all that.
Okay, Foxy, try it like you said. Won't do no harm talking to them.
Okay, Harry. I'll start moving on it.
What happened when this chap Fox contacted the solicitors?
He tried Hoggart's lawyer first, and then he got onto our chap Lathan, who shuffled the papers upstairs, and they put one of our chaps onto it. A bit of inter-services cooperation, let us say.
Yes, I'll see what I can do, Freddy. What is it, Miss Purvis?
There's a gentleman to see you, Mr. Fox.
I don't remember any appointments this morning. Who is he?
He won't say.
Well, tell him to go away. I'll make a proper appointment.
I think you should see him, Mr. Fox.
Why?
He looks kind of official. He said he'd wait however long it takes.
Oh, you better wheel him in then.
Sir, if you'd like to come through.
I didn't get your name, sir.
I didn't give it, Mr. Fox, but it's Harris.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Harris?
A couple of things, actually. I want to see all the documents you have on the premises of Gaylord Overseas Limited. And, while I'm here, I'd like to look at your own books covering the last 8 years. Inland Revenue, Mr. Fox. Here's me card.
What's all this about, Mr. Harris?
Well, every now and again we stick a pin in the list, and wherever it lands we do a special check covering 8 or 10 years. Your client's Gaylord Overseas came up this time, so here we are.
Why my books? I put my returns in every year.
And they're usually a bit late, Mr. Fox. We thought we might as well give you a whirl at the same time.
I'll have to get permission from my clients before I can let you go ahead.
This is the registered office of Gaylord, and you are down as the company secretary. We don't need any permission. But you can accompany my two chaps who do the search at your own. Two others will be going to do the search simultaneously at your colleague's house.
My colleague?
Yes, Mr. Gardner, isn't it? Hartford Street, Mayfair?
You mean you're going to search Harry Gardner's place?
Yes, it's his company that's the main subject of the check.
Does he know?
Well, I'll be going around there myself when my chaps are settled in here.
I can't believe it.
It does often seem to come as a shock to the people concerned.
Well, how long will all this take?
It looks like several weeks. Your clients seem to have a whole network of subsidiaries and associates.
And what about my work? This is only a small place.
You just carry on, Mr. Fox. Once we've got what we need, we can use your outer office.
Well, you got your bloody answer, didn't you, Foxy?
It's just a coincidence, Harry.
Coincidence, my arse. One of us, yes, but both at the same time. They're telling you to get stuffed, and me too.
So what do we do?
Do nothing. Pray that the bastards don't find anything.
I've been very careful, Harry. Most of it's in the Cayman Islands set-up.
You want to bet?
On what?
On how much they screw me for. I reckon mine will be 100 grand.
and they'll do you for 15.
On what grounds?
Don't be so bloody naive. They'll do us because they want to. That's what this thing's all about. It's their answer to your little games with them. They're teaching you a lesson, Foxy, and I'm bloody paying for it.
So what do you want me to do? I could tell them she's changed her mind and there'd be no trouble.
I'll still be in trouble. Back to square one with Hoggett out to ruin me.
So what do you want me to do?
Give them another dose. Up the stakes. Show them we're not scared.
How did Gardner take it?
Hired a hitman to harass Hoggett and used his influence to make sure that Jackie couldn't get even a shop girl's job. I saw a sad little note she sent to Eddie Hoggett. Obviously thought he was involved in some way.
Dear Eddie, I don't know if it is okay to write you because of the divorce business, but here goes. Have you been to our old place recently? I was there last week hoping to speak to you. It's all smashed up and been broken into. It was not me, you can be sure. I lost my job because someone told them about the fines I got way back. Since then I get promises of jobs, but never hear no more. So I think somebody is doing it deliberate. I'm really sorry about what happened. I was a fool. But if you don't give me a chance to work, I'll be in a bad way. Hoping this finds you okay. Your loving Jackie. P.S. They even tore up the new curtains I made.
How you doing, Rocky?
Getting by.
Yeah, good. I've got a job for you, if you're interested.
Yeah. How much?
Well, add up to about 500 nicker.
What is it?
Just one chap, but he's good. He's, well trained.
Who is he?
You interested?
Well, of course I am.
You feel fit to talk, Mr. Hoggett?
Yeah, I'm okay. Who are you?
Rawson, from Sensory House. The police found your ID and contacted us. Tell me what happened. You think it was an accident?
No, I'm sure it was deliberate.
Why are you so sure?
Well, somebody vandalized my flat in London a few days ago.
Any idea who it could be?
I don't know who's actually doing it, but I know who's giving him his orders to do it.
Who?
A bloke called Gardner.
Not Harry Gardner.
Yeah, that's him. Bit time criminal, but no conviction. How come you know him?
As it happens, we've been looking him over.
What does that mean?
We've been keeping an eye on him for Malin's people. I think they're giving him the treatment.
Why?
No idea. You'd better get more sleep.
Listen, can you drive me to the crossroads in Lamberhurst?
You ought to stay here until they discharge you.
All right, I'll get a taxi.
Okay, I'll take you.
Hello?
Eddie.
Tony.
How are you getting on with our friend?
I think I'm getting there.
Good. I'd like to see you, Eddie, tonight. My flat.
Well, I don't like leaving him.
I do understand. But I need to see you.
Okay. I'll be a couple of hours then.
Oh, that's okay. I'll be here. Come in, Eddie. Sit you down.
Thanks.
Eddie, I've got some rather upsetting news for you. Jackie's dead.
Jackie?
She slashed her wrists in the middle of the night.
Oh, my God.
She was
God.
Dead when they found her. There'll be an inquest, of course. I went over to the hospital to do what I could. She left a note for you. They wanted to keep it and hand it to the coroner. But I insisted that you had it on the undertaking that it would be made available, if required, for the inquest.
Oh, my God.
And I took the liberty of reading it, Eddie. I wanted to be able to help.
Saturday night. Dear Eddie, please forgive me, but I've got to the end of my tether, as they say. I seem to have caused everybody so much trouble. I'm truly sorry for what I've done. I did love you, Papa, but I spoiled it all. Take care of yourself. Love, Jackie.
Oh, Jackie.
It must be a terrible shock, Eddie. I'm very sad. But you are not to blame. You gave her the only bit of security that she ever had. And the only genuine affection.
Oh, why didn't it work?
Because she was doomed, Eddie. Doomed from the start. She didn't stand a cat in hell's chance. Neither did you. However hard you tried.
Oh, I didn't try hard enough, Tony. I didn't try, that's for sure.
No matter how hard you tried, it would have made no difference.
Why did you bother to find out about her?
To see if there was anything I could do to help you.
Why?
Because you and the girl, in my opinion, were like a pair of bookends. Your backgrounds were almost exactly the same. You ended up in ways that looked very different, but deep down, you weren't. You were like a couple of lost souls. You survived because of your work, and she was lost because of that bloody father of hers. Will you take some advice from me, or shall I shut up?
No, no, what's the advice?
Don't go back to the safe house. Let him stew for a bit. Forget work. I've got a beautiful boat in a beautiful spot. Use it for a couple of days. Get off the treadmill and rest that mind of yours.
I've got to make arrangements for... Where's she being buried?
Leave it to me, Eddie. I'll take care of all that for you. And I'll do it with affection, the way you'd have done it.
Thank you.
Did you come by car?
No, train.
Okay. I'll drive you down to Chichester to the boat myself and show you how things work. And then I'll get somebody to drive your car down in a couple of days' time. There's a shaving kit down there. There's food in the galley.
You know, I'm very grateful, Tony. It's very unexpected, undeserved. What is it, Eagle?
Eddie, the SIS man. I've just seen him on TV. Oh, someone exactly like the photograph they showed me.
Yeah, it could be a lookalike. Serving SIS officers don't ever go on TV or have their photographs in the media. What was he doing?
He was in a crowd going into cinema. I wasn't watching carefully until I just saw him.
Late Show Production Office.
Could you tell me what items were on the Late Show tonight, please?
The first item was on an American photographer, Ansel Adams. The second was a general item about the Mersey poets. And the last item was the premiere of a new musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber. The Queen was there. It was a charity dinner.
Can I have a copy of the last part?
You'd have to apply to the producer, but I think it's unlikely.
Well, can I speak to him, the producer?
He'll be at home in bed by now.
Well, is there someone senior I can speak to right now?
I'll see what I can do.
It's very irregular, but I've checked your status with your organisation, and I will get a copy made. It's 1 o'clock now. It'll be ready for you at reception in 1 hour. You said your name's Hoggart, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And the invoice should go to your people at Century House?
Yeah, that's right. I'll be at the TV centre in a couple of hours.
He took it down to the safe house and ran it through for Ekunin half a dozen times. But he knew the first time that Ekunin was right. Our friend was with one of his girlfriends, waiting to go up the steps to their seats before H.M. arrived. And suddenly it all fitted together. Hockett couldn't really believe it. He didn't want to believe it. It was dark when Hoggart got down to Birdham, and he made his way to Renshaw's boat. Then, lo and behold, Tony Renshaw arrives.
Well, Eddie, no need to say make yourself at home.
We've got to talk, Tony.
By all means. What brings you here of visiting so late?
You know why I'm here, Tony. Don't play games with me.
Tell me all.
Why? That's what I want to know. Why?
It's a long story, Eddie. Frightfully boring, too. And why doesn't really matter, does it?
It does to me.
But not to our masters. They are only interested in how and what. And they'd never understand the why.
Maybe I would.
Let's have a nice cup of tea first, yes?
If you want.
How many people know?
Just me.
Are you armed?
No.
Let's see. Milk and 2 sugars, if I remember rightly.
You've got a good memory, Tony.
You have to have, you know. In my line.
You mean treason?
Oh. I wondered how long before that word would rear its ugly head. Nothing passed on to them would have affected our national security.
If it didn't, the KGB wouldn't have been interested.
Oh, I'm afraid you are quite wrong there. Although the KGB were the channel, it was people much higher up who benefited.
And so did we, of course.
How could we benefit from giving away our secrets?
Well, as always in these things, it was on two levels. Lienski was my mole in Moscow, and I was his mole in SIS. The only difference between us was that his people knew about both of us. Not that they knew what we were really up to. SIS knew only that I was controlling a mole named Lienski. On one level, we exchanged hard information, but what really mattered was the second level. And that was more often advice rather than hard facts or information.
Like what?
On facts level, I would warn him that we might easily put one of their chaps in the bag if he didn't lay off contacts with certain politicians. It saved them losing an agent and us having to waste time doing surveillance on a new chap. And stopped the wretched politicians from playing silly games just for a free trip to Prague or Budapest. And on the second level, I gave advice. What were the inner cabinet's real views on removal of nuclear weapons? What was the Prime Minister's real assessment of Gorbachev? And I get back a picture of the struggles inside the KGB. Even struggles inside the Kremlin itself.
And the information you passed on was always factual and authentic?
On the second level, it was never either of those things. It was genuine views of a well-informed person who was not anti-Soviet, or in Lienski's case, not anti-British. Well-informed because he was part of the inner circle.
Did you pass on Lienski's information?
The hard stuff, the first level, was passed on to the Director General verbatim. The second level came in my advice, as if from me. I think the DG thought I used a crystal ball.
Did you never have any doubt that they might be using you?
Doubts, yes. But Lienski's comments were genuine, I'm sure. He wasn't always right. As was I. But our errors were made in good faith. Lienski and I had a lot in common. Where politicians are concerned, we don't inhale. He didn't trust theirs, and I don't trust ours. I never have.
Why not?
I was brought up among them. There were always half a dozen around at home every weekend. I heard them talking with one another off the record. My father is a rich man and influential, and so they cultivated him. He didn't like them, but he tolerated them. But I hated, despised them. It angered me that these men could influence and control all our lives, send us into wars, decide how desperately poor you had to be before the state would help you. Change the law to suit their own interest. And I mean both of them. Labour and Tories. Nothing to choose between them.
But you trust the men in the Politburo?
No way. They're even worse than our lot.
So why help them?
I don't. What I pass on to Lienski has often prevented them from some aggression that would inevitably lead to confrontation. When they're planning some move, they always have to work out what they think the West's reaction will be. If our reaction looks as if it's going to cause them trouble, they very often think again. It doesn't always work. It didn't work with Afghanistan. But the mess they got into only showed them what it cost if they ignored the signals that Lienski gave them. Signals from me.
How did you get to know Lienski?
Ah. Our planes were held up for 6 hours by fog at Tokyo Airport. We got talking about politics and current affairs. I think it was after about an hour. We both realized that we were in the same business. Anybody else would have backed off, but we were both amused. And as we went on talking, it was obvious that we both had much the same views and outlook on the world and our own governments. I think it was more or less as an intellectual exercise that we discussed how to use our positions to bring some sanity into East-West relations. Despite some doubts, we decided to try it for a few months, each of us claiming to have recruited the other. It seemed to work, and we were in business.
Why was Lienski sacrificed by Moscow?
He wasn't intended as a sacrifice. He was meant to counteract Yakunin and protect me.
Where do we go from here?
I thought I might take a little trip across the channel. That was my plan. With your very kind permission, of course.
What made you decide to leave tonight?
The same thing that brought you down here, too. Instinct.
The little bells ringing and the little red lights flashing.
Nothing more than that?
Oh, just a little. I saw the piece on the late show.
What do you suggest I tell the people back at Century House?
They won't know that you were here. Just be surprised when you're told. Just one more intellectual does a boat. But an Oxford man this time, not Cambridge. That'll be some compensation for them. They won't want it to get in the press. They've got enough scandals to cope with already without adding to them unnecessarily.
And Lenski and Yakunin?
You can tell Yakunin that I'll square things in Moscow for him as long as he doesn't work for SIA.
And Lenski?
Yes, Paul Lenski. He'll have to carry on for a bit whilst I work something out.
And when things have cooled down, I get a telephone call from some KGB goon with a message from you threatening to expose me if I don't do what Moscow wants.
You read me better than that, dear boy, now, don't you?
Will you answer me a personal question, totally honestly?
I've answered all your questions honestly.
When you were kind about my wife, was it a piece of long-term insurance to get me on your side?
You mean insurance for what I'm asking you to do now?
Yes.
Common sense should give you the answer to that. I didn't expect you to be here on the boat. I'd assume that I should quietly fold up my tents like the Arabs and silently steal away. How could I have known that you would be so significant? I helped you about your wife because you were one of my men who needed help. A man who tried to find a small dream and found a nightmare instead. No other reason.
Can I ask you what happened?
Do you really want to know?
Yes.
She had a proper funeral service, and she is buried in my family's plot in a village church near my old home at Henley-on-Thames.
Who was there?
Just me.
When do you want to leave here?
The tide's up now.
Listen, thanks for what you did for me and Jackie. I hope you're happy in your new life.
What? With all those bloody po-faced Russians, no way. But we all make our little beds, don't we? And we all have to learn them sooner or later. It's time for me to go, Eddie. You'd better go ashore.
I'll send you a postcard when I've settled in. Take care, Eddie.
Yeah, and you.
In Deep Purple, a dramatization by Ted Albury from his own novel, Eddie was played by Michael Melia and Jackie by Louise Germain. Tony Renshaw, Steve Hodson. David Fletcher, Dominic Letts. Yakunin, Shandor Ellis. Gardner, John Hollis. Foxy, Brian Croucher. Belinsky and Pritchard, Neville Jason. Vera Pollard and Assistant Probation Officer, Geraldine Fitzgerald. Senior Probation Officer and Miss Purvis, Julie Mears. Sir Arthur and Rawson were played by Colin Pinney. Sir Peter Bellamy by John Evitts. Sir Peter's assistant, the guard and inspector, by Michael Onslow. Chalmers and Joe, Julian Ryan Tutt. Diana and Julie, Una Beeson. Mary, the assistant at Century House, and BBC girl, Teresa Gallagher. Harris and the magistrate, James Taylor. Bodoni and Rocky, Gareth Armstrong. Mason and BBC man, Philip Anthony. And Shaw, John Fleming. The pianist was David Chilton. Deep Purple was directed by Tracy Neal. Thank you.